The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Of course, he's a Yankee fan with that hat cocked to the side.
All right.
Have we noticed in the still image, there's a guy on the left wearing a sliding glove.
Yes.
An Evil Shield
yes.
sliding glove.
What the?
So what do you think?
What is that?
I painted my face.
You painted your face?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, support the team.
Like, that's the same thing as, like, wearing receiver gloves to an NFL game, right?
It's worse,
way worse. Receiver gloves, you might catch. You might get to play catch with J.J. Watt. Like, you might.
Well, you can walk around like that.
Why not?
Because it's insane.
Oh, hey, you gotta let them know you're out there. This is the playoffs.
He's wearing a sliding glove?
Yeah, the sliding mitt.
Yeah, like,
and I believe it's like turquoise. That guy who's wearing that is also wearing sunglasses to a night.
Dave's, painted his face.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Well, you gotta support your team, huh?
Okay, ready to go?
Yeah.
Let's get it on!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Hey, could you actually reread that part at the bottom for me?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Here's Alex Stroph and Josh DiMaggio.
Oh, that'll get the juices flowing on a Friday. Well done by the newest member of our team. Will Summers producing for us this morning, formerly known as Intern Will. Will Summers joining the ESPN Milwaukee team as he approaches college graduation. Let's do our hourly check-in with Will Summer. Will, one semester left. How we doing? We still hitting the books hard? We hitting the library every night? Where are we at here?
To be completely honest, probably my most lackluster semester of school, this past one, but I checked my grades last night.
Okay.
Best they have ever been.
Yeah, attaboy.
But you know what they say? C's get degrees. Yes. Well, that's my motto.
You know what they also say? Surround yourself with Alex Stroph and Josh DiMaggio. Uh-huh. You'll never fail.
Yes, that has probably hindered my academic excellence this semester slightly. Hey. But apparently not, because my grades were a lot better than they ever have been. Yeah.
Proof's in the pudding, brother.
Josh, we've whipped you into shape.
Yeah, Josh dropping all his big vocabulary is just... been cemented into my brain now.
Just sneak it into some papers, it'll look really good.
To put in context of where young Will is right now with his schooling coming to an end, he was debating with me earlier this week which classes would be the easiest to take and which ones he wouldn't actually have to show up for. So we are, it's a little bit of senioritis kicking in there. Like,
oh, I like that question on the text line. What is the most obscure college class you ever took? 800-990-3776.
I don't have one that comes to mind.
Coaching.
Coaching?
Oh, yeah, one credit coaching class.
I took some sports-related class that was really nothing. It was just, like, talking about the history of sports. It did count towards what you needed it to, but there wasn't... It wasn't very... It was, like, the classic gym teacher that has a class that you actually have to take, where it's, like, you're kind of just, like, watching old football games and stuff. That was... I do remember that one.
That sounds fun. I like that.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Let us know what the most obscure college class you ever took was as Will Summers, the newest member of our team, approaches college graduation here in a few months. 800-990-3776. I know you've got some weird ones, right? Like, I know there's like a wine and cheese class that a couple universities offer. I don't know what you're learning there, but respect nonetheless. Probably a good way to end your college career. Would love to hear some of the responses on that. But I want to get to this. So typically, and normally, and usually, I produce our afternoon show. Kyle Bruston-Ortman, 2 to 5 here on ESPN Milwaukee, which, of course, features the former NFL punter, former Wisconsin Badger, Brad Nortman. Sometimes we call him Brad Nerdman.
Yes.
And rightfully so, because that guy is a nerd. But we love him for it. Yesterday on Kyle Bruston-Ortman from 2 to 5, Brad Nortman took a look at some of the numbers of the Packers defense and said, well, guys, I don't think this defense is a whole heck of a lot better than a year ago. Here's what Brad Nortman had to say yesterday on KBN.
Everyone was up in arms. Oh, this defense stinks. Fire Joe Barry. This is a joke. And I was right there with him, might I add. But then we hired Jeff Hafley, thinking that this is it. This is what's going to be the case to turn this defense around, and they're going to be the reason why the Packers are winning games. Guys, I've been disappointed with this defense. And the stats back it up. The Packers defense actually has a better scoring defense last year than this year.
Oh, wow.
By half a point. I'm not going to go too deep into the stats because it's very statistical, obviously. But
are the stats statistical? Better
points for a game in 2023. total defense, only better by 5 yards. Like total, how many total yards do you allow? This year, only 5 yards better. 335 to 229. Pass defense has gotten worse. They're allowing 20 yards more per game. But rushing defense has gotten better. They've improved by 20, basically an exact net zero. Red zone. Red zone, guys. They were 50% last year, which is actually pretty good. They're 61 this year. They've gotten significantly worse in the red zone. Significantly worse in the red zone. Yes, turnovers much better this year than last year, but sacks and pressure is way down. So basically, what's the takeaway? What's the thesis?
What does it all mean, Basil?
Let me tell you what it means. Oh, guys, God. They're the same. It's the same defense. There's not as much criticism. There's not as much visceral hate for this team because it feels like the hearts haven't been broken.
That Brad Nortman and a crappy movie reference, per usual.
Never
by,
stops.
By Ben Brust.
Ben Brust's movies have not updated since 2006. It's just unbelievable.
That might be generous.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I do want to talk a little bit here, because before I tell Brad how wrong he is and how counting stats aren't really the stats you need to be looking at here, there are certainly things that I think the Packers defense can get better on. The pass defense, as Chewy has mentioned, they allowed like 17 passing first downs against the Detroit Lions. The pass rush is something here on this program we've talked about a ton, but has been getting better and has been improving, but it's still something you would like to see more out of that front four from.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
I noticed Brad Nortman kind of skipped right over the turnovers thing. The Green Bay Packers are third in the NFL when it comes to turnovers. Turnovers, as a stat for the defenses, are one of the most important. You are taking the ball away from them and giving it to your offense. To breeze over that, I think, was a massive misstep because, well, it didn't fit the narrative. When you look at defenses, the counting stats in terms of yards given up and points given up are certainly somewhat indicative. But the real numbers you need to be looking at here are numbers called EPA, DVOA, and attempted net yards average.
Oh, we're getting nerdy right now.
EPA is the measure of each play by how it affects the offense's likelihood to score. It calculates how the defense subtracts from a possession. DVOA takes every single play and compares each one to a league average baseline. 5 yards on third and four are worth more than 5 yards on first and 10. And 5 yards on third and 12. So instead of just counting numbers, we talk about counting numbers in baseball. RBIs don't really matter as much anymore because we realize how they affect other numbers. When you look at these numbers that try and encapsulate from a league average and from an effectiveness standpoint, you get better numbers there. Last year, the Green Bay Packers in DVOA were 27th. So at a league average, when you compare against all the defensive stats, the Packers were 27th in the NFL. That is pretty bad, is it not?
Yeah.
This year, the Green Bay Packers are 12th in DVOA.
Not so bad.
That is a 15th place. Whoa, my mic dropped there. That is 15 places better from a defense we say, and we can definitively say, has not reached its full potential yet.
Correct.
They are still learning. Yep. They are still getting better. They are still making all the pieces mesh. When we look at EPA, the expected points average, 2024 has only ever been outdone by the Packers since 2010 by 2009 and 2010. So twice in the past 14 years, the Packers had better defenses than the Packers have this year when it comes to expected points added. What Brad is looking at are numbers that aren't telling the full story.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers that aren't indicative of how good a defense has been. And one of the major differences is, do you feel like the Packers are schematically disadvantaged, where Joe Barry had the classic three-down linemen, or situations where it was 3rd and 4 mm-hmm. and the Packers' D-backs were lined up 7 yards past the ball correct. And they just moved on with a first down. So to ignore all those numbers I just pointed out and ignore how different it feels in addition to the turnovers
yeah.
seems to be not telling the complete story. And I understand the defense at times has not felt that great, but this is the NFL. Those guys on the other side are getting paid just as much. There is truly, really, probably not that great of a defense right now besides the Philadelphia Eagles when it comes to like a historic standpoint of like truly great defenses. Teams that we've got used to having great defenses have gone down.
Baltimore,
These things move and they fluctuate. One game is going to be better than the next. Sometimes it's opponent-driven. Sometimes it's matchups-driven.
Yes.
These things all need to culminate and be a big thing. So by taking just a total number, you're not evaluating truly down to the degree that we're able to with numbers like EPA, DVOA, and attempted net yards.
I think Justin points something out too, Joshy, which I was thinking the same thing. On the text line. Justin says, good job, Josh. There's also the eye test.
Yes.
What is Brad watching?
Correct. That was the other thing, and I wanted to, because Brad is the nerd. Love Brad. But he's nerdman, and he likes numbers. Somebody who knows numbers should be looking a little bit deeper into the numbers.
So he's looking at the wrong numbers.
He's not nerdy enough.
Oh, wow. I don't know, as the producer of that show, if I want you to challenge him on that, but I respect where you're coming from.
I just, the eye test is the one thing where, when I saw that tweet that went out from Brad, I thought to myself, this doesn't seem to make sense, and why would that be? So then I looked at the deeper numbers, the DVOA, EPA, and all that, and said, huh, this defense is massively improved by whole half of the league.
I don't know that it's I didn't know the case he was making. I respected him for digging. But look, there are still flaws.
Yes.
I don't think any of us are making the case there aren't flaws.
Nope.
The pass rush, not good.
No.
Right?
Not good enough.
Defensive backfield, worrisome, especially if there's no Jair Alexander.
Correct.
I think we will see that on Sunday, as Jason Wilde pointed out about an hour ago when he joined us. If you missed that, Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts. The Seahawks have three good receivers, including a one who is emerging into a league-wide superstar in Jackson Smith and Jigba. Joshy, you said it. He loves to get his in the middle of the field.
Yep.
Packers, not good at defending in the middle of the field when it comes to the pass game. So, yeah, I am a little bit worried when it comes to Sunday, and we will dive more into this matchup as we roll on this morning. But the eye test is all I need to tell you.
Yes.
This defense is not only better than last year's, but significantly better than last year's. All I need to point to, Christmas Eve last year, the Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
All I need to point to is Baker Mayfield, perfect passer rating at Lambeau Field. You saw some catastrophic game plans from Joe Barry last season. I don't think you could use the word catastrophic to describe anything Jeff Hafley's done this year.
At no point. And how many times has Jeff Hafley dialed up like the perfect pressure at the perfect time to get a sack or to cause like an incompletion? Where that just Joe Barry just didn't blitz. Mm-mm. That was not part of his game. He wasn't interested in it.
Except when Devondre Campbell told him he had.
Yes, exactly. Of course. So the Packers have been able to generate pressure without the front four being what you want them to be. And he's schematically... Now, there has been games where sometimes when you line up and you make your game plan, the other team has a better plan and you get beat and you're kind of fighting from behind the whole game.
Mm.
But to act like Jeff Hafley in this defense hasn't become a factor to be excited about and encouraged by, I don't think is fair to what we've seen play out to... What did they do to the Texans? They embarrassed the Texans.
CJ Stroud threw for less than 100 yards.
They embarrassed.
Yes.
That was a guy who people were talking about for MVP.
Now, Texans might not be as good as we thought they were initially.
No, but that's why numbers like DVOA, and they are measuring against league averages and against what numbers matter. So when you're doing counting stats, you can get to numbers that don't look so great. But when you're comparing them, like something like MLB's WAR, these things will tell you actual indication of where you're at.
Nerdy Josh is my favorite. That was good. That was good.
Suck it, Brad.
Oh, okay. Okay. And now Trash Talk Joshy has come back. Trash Talk Joshy's back. Stat Joshy's gone for the morning.
All right. I see a bunch of really obscure college courses, which we are going
to
pass on to former intern, now part-time Will Summers, who's running the show for us here in just a minute. Alex Stroh, Joshy DiMaggio with you. We continue to preview Packers, Seahawks. We continue to take a look at some of the obscure college courses you took, which, by the way, I've seen a couple of my alma mater pop in here, UW Stevens Point, so excited to talk about that. Jordan Love, is he being overlooked? That is all still ahead as we roll on with you for about another 40 minutes ahead of Wildy and Tausch. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Friday right here on ESPN Milwaukee.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it's it doesn't work.
Chewy,
am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Yeah, you made it to the end of the week. It's Friday. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Alex Stroh, Joshy DiMaggio hanging out with you. Producing the show this morning is the newest member of our ESPN Milwaukee team. That is now former intern Will, and now current part-time Will Summers, who is joining our team. He is a senior in college. He is Joshy's protege. I think you would take credit for that, right? You would call him your protege.
To a degree, Will is extremely self-motivated, and credit to him, but he has spent a lot
of... Stop being nice.
Well, because
he's not an intern anymore. You don't have to be nice.
I'm proud of
he called us idiots.
I'm proud of the work he's done to get here, and while I've helped and assisted, much of it's been his own doing.
Will, would you say the two people you spent the most time with are me and Joshy? Would that make sense?
Yeah, you guys, along with Ashton Rotman, our executive producer, and Greg Hill as well, the executive producer for WTMJ.
Love G Hill.
Yeah,
he's the man.
G Hill's the man.
All right, we're not giving Ashton any credit right now. Who did you learn more from, Will? Joshy or me?
Wow.
That's
a loaded question.
There is a
question.
Correct answer.
You're really putting me on the spot here.
Yeah, you're not an intern anymore.
I'd have to go with Joshy.
Yeah, that's the correct answer. Yeah.
I was going to say, Yeah, it's just the nature of the times you're available. You've been more available with me, and I mean, you've run the show plenty of times before just today, so you moving into this has been kind of seamless. You knew what to do. We haven't really had any hiccups, to my knowledge.
So far so good. We've got a half an hour left.
He's had less errors than I would have had by this point.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, he's already a better producer than both of us.
I'm not saying Stroh didn't help me at all. I'd like to give him his props. I like to give him his flowers.
Thank you, brother. Now, Will revealed to us a little bit earlier in the show that he's entering his final semester of college. He's going to set to graduate here in May. And he's picking kind of obscure classes just to knock out the credits. So we were asking you on the text line, 800-990-3776, and on YouTube, where you can watch us. Stream is free on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. Approaching 6,000 subscribers. If you're not already, go ahead and subscribe. I want to know the most obscure college classes you took. You're grinning at me.
I just want to add here, Matthew on the talking text line, in response to us talking about Will, unless he's not from the school of Jesse Nelson.
Yeah, that's how you know he's going to be successful.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that just ensures that Will is going to be good at this, which is great. No, I'm going to Madison later this afternoon. I'm actually looking forward to seeing Jesse Nelson. Is that strange?
I am a Jesse Nelson fan most of the time. Well, that's how I would describe
it. It's fun because he enjoys the trash talk, yes, and he'll give it back, right?
Yes.
He's going to tell me he doesn't miss me at all, which is probably true.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be good. So anyway, looking at some of the obscure classes that you have taken on the text line. Let's start with Tucker in Wausau, who went to my alma mater, Joshy. Tucker went to UW Stevens Point. I'm a proud pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Top 25 in Division III basketball right now, by the way. Took a one-credit badminton course because I couldn't get into the class I wanted to take. A bowling class. Yeah, we do it right up there in Stevens Point, man.
I actually, in high school, part of our gym, one whole semester, we went to the local bowling alley at like 10 in the morning.
Okay.
And bowled for like an entire hour. They would bus us there. We would bowl a game and then just go back to school. I was ordering like soda and chicken wings from the bowling alley at like 10 a.m. as a high school senior.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, that's a good
class. I learned how
to
score bowling by hand, a skill I don't really need anymore unless I go as the cause of
medieval. Really?
Yes.
You know how to do it by hand?
Yes, it was part of the... Because you needed to add something more than just like, oh, we're going to hang out and eat appetizers.
Chicken wings,
yeah. So yeah, I was able to score bowling games.
That's fantastic. Jared in the 920 text in says, I took a history of rock and roll class in college. What a cakewalk. That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think Josh and I would both enjoy that. Here's AJ from Baltimore. He's a UW-Madison graduate. He says, I took African storytelling. It was a dude that just walked around Africa recording all the stories passed down from tribe to tribe by word of mouth. It was awesomely obscure. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like you're getting like old stories that most people would never ever hear.
Yeah.
That has the thing of probably being kind of easy to pass and also extremely interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's probably the line you're trying to draw,
yes,
right? If it's not super easy, at least make it incredibly interesting, a little
right,
bit obscure, right? And it sounds like that one was a little bit there. How about this one from Lynn, which I thought was really interesting? I took a weaving class in college. She says, unfortunately, not underwater basket weaving. I still have the blanket that I wove.
The weaving class reminds me of one of the more famous, I believe it was Matt Leinart. His fifth year with USC, I believe he was just taking one course called ballroom dancing at the time. You might be a little too young to remember this distinctly, but it was like this, after they became the phenomena they are, he stayed in school and took one course for the semester, and it was just ballroom dancing. I did look up some other interesting ones here.
Okay.
I want to know what you think about some of these.
Yeah.
Durham University offers a Harry Potter module as part of their education studies courses.
Yeah, no thanks. I've never seen Harry Potter. I've seen the first one.
It's weird.
Is it weird that I haven't seen it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like ubiquitous.
Yeah, well, as you know, movies are probably my biggest blind
spot.
Yeah,
and we know you're not reading, that's for sure.
Well, that seemed unnecessary.
Cornell University offers a beekeeping major where students learn to interpret what they see in the hive and respond to the colony's needs.
That's objectively cool.
I couldn't do that one. I'm allergic to bees.
Are you?
I'd end up dead. Puppet art from UConn. The joy of garbage offered by UC Berkeley is a course that covers the science and consequences of what humans consume and discard. And then Michigan State University offers an online course called Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse.
That's
which is
cool.
One I would take. I just don't know how it could possibly fit into any of the requirements.
So I have two obscure ones from on the personal talk and text line from some of our teammates. Now, we will start with Maddie Hayes. She is the director of our social media at ESPN Milwaukee. She went to Kent State University in Ohio. Joshy, I think you're going to hate this, but this has to be the most obscure one I've seen. She took a 4-credit course, so that's more than usual, wow, right? Usually courses are somewhere about 3 credits,
three,
right, Will? Is that right?
Yeah, 1 to 3 is the school that I'm going to, where
okay,
they
yeah,
range from.
Usually if you get to 4, you need like a lab of sorts,
yes,
to add that.
Oh, it was a lab.
Yes.
It was a Will Ferrell lab.
Oh,
the actor Will Ferrell. You watched movies. That was the lab. And then you had discussions and wrote papers on it. 4 credits to watch Will Ferrell movies, which if I know anything about Josh DiMaggio, for some reason he's got something against Will Ferrell.
I really don't. I think Will Ferrell for me is hit or miss. Some of his movies I find very, very funny. Other I don't find that funny. But I would 1,000%, had I been at the school, taken a Will Ferrell, especially if it was 4 credits to something I needed to graduate.
Yeah.
Sign me up. I've probably seen 80% of them already, so it's just kind of rewatching.
Okay, so you are a Will Ferrell guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a Will Ferrell guy, but I think he's funny
okay,
at times.
You know, yes. I didn't expect that from
a guy I don't like, comedian, Adam Sandler. I find his movies unfunny.
Oh, see, I knew there was going to be a comedy take somewhere in there. Dylan in our marketing department here at GKB and ESPN Milwaukee says, in college, the most obscure class I took was a Lord of the Rings class. We read from the original transcripts of the Fellowship of the Ring.
That's interesting. I think there, that one you can kind of attribute that to sort of the fantasy literature like style, where you're like studying probably a foundational text to a whole string of things that have, like, without the Lord of the Rings, there probably is no Game of Thrones, which would, you know, there would be some value in studying what J.R.R. Tolkien did to create what is now a major genre.
All right, 3 more for you before we get to a break. This from DB on the text line, 800-990-3776. DB, she says, the history of human sexuality, nowhere near as cool as I thought it was going to be.
I feel like that one's in every school.
Yeah.
You can find that one.
Yeah, and it sounds interesting, but apparently not so interesting, according to DB on the text line. These two might take the cake. This might top Will Ferrell. This one from Casey at UW-Madison. I took an ice skating course.
Love that.
That sounds dangerous, right? Okay, now, for those of you that might not know me super well, who don't typically hear me in this time slot, I'm clumsy. And I'm a dork, and I'm a little bit of an idiot. Every time I've gone ice skating, I went with like three different like high school flings, girlfriends, whatever you want to call them, when I was like a freshman and sophomore in high school. First time ever went ice skating, I broke my elbow.
Jeez.
Second time I went ice skating, but and you can't really do much.
You broke your elbow with a girl?
Oh, yeah, and I didn't really know it, but then like it swelled up. I don't know if broke is the right word. I like chipped it.
Chipped,
yeah, in my bone, and it was, you could feel it like floating around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it swelled up. It was very gross. Then later, with my college girlfriend, I tried it one more time. Cool. I was like, I'll try it one more time. Thank you for that. I'll try it one more time.
Girlfriends.
It was right outside of Lambeau Field in Green Bay, right in the Title Town district when they had just freshly built that. Dude, I had to use one of the things for three-year-olds.
For the children? It's basically a walker for on ice.
I kept falling.
So I have ice skated most of my life. I haven't in a while, actually. I played hockey. One of the most important things, and this sort of applies to a lot of other sports, is you have to learn how to fall. Aaron Rodgers talked about that, like learning how to take hits and take falls. A big part with hockey is learning how to fall and not harm yourself.
Yeah, right.
To kind of roll over and use the back of your shoulders and like not just stick the hands out or land elbows first. There is a skill to learning how to fall, especially when ice skating. I bet me and Brian D here, and DJ, our friend DJ Stanek as well, would be able to teach you how to ice skate. Because
here's the issue. I don't trust Brian D for one moment. That man plays intramural hockey. I went to his championship game at Panther Arena a couple months ago. The dude gets injured every time he plays hockey. He broke his ribs in the championship game. Non-contact injury. He broke them on his own stick. So you think I want to learn from him?
He went into a corner too hard and got caught and then jabbed him.
Jabbed himself,
that'll
broke
happen.
His ribs. Yep, yeah. So anyway, I think Colin will take the cake, though, on the most obscure college class. He said, I took a class in college simply called happiness. And Colin, you didn't give us a report. Did it work?
Yeah.
Are you happy?
That also sounds like one that might be kind of difficult. You have to like learn parts of the brain and how they interact.
That's the thing. I don't think it would make me that happy.
Yeah, it'd be like science, and it would turn like happiness also into like algorithmic in a way. Like, here's why these neurons fire creating X, Y, and Z, and it'd be like, I don't know. It's like having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not talking about me having beers with my buds. Like.
that right there, ladies and gentlemen, Josh DiMaggio's definition of happiness. Taking a few back with his buds.
Uh-huh.
Amazing. Suds and buds. That is Josh DiMaggio's definition of happiness. Well, that was fun. Thanks for participating on the text line, 800-990-3776. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Friday morning. I'm Alex Strofe. That's Josh DiMaggio, the usual producer of this program, producing for us today for the first time, no longer intern Will Summers with us this morning. Coming up next, we will take a trip down memory lane. It's Packers-Seahawks Sunday Night Football, and boy, oh boy, are there some memories we need to relive. We will do that coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I'm not saying it was your fault, although you could have done more. Oh, you're so naive, yes, so.
Away we go, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Friday. Alex Rove, Josh DiMaggio in. Will Summers, the newest member of our team, running the show this morning. All right, it is Packers-Seahawks Sunday Night Football. I've said it all week on this show. Joshy, I've got a little bit of the heebie-jeebies, a little bit of the nerves. And I know Chef Ed, he's done a masterful job all week on the text line trying to calm me down. He's like, they've got this. They're going to win this game. But I'm feeling a little bit nervous about this one. And I think a big chunk of the reason why is because of the history, right? These two teams have a deep history. Specifically, I want to outline three memories. Two are not so happy. One is happy, and we will start there. It was January 4th, 2004. It was the playoffs of the 2003 NFL season. It was a wild card game at Lambeau Field. And the Seahawks quarterback at the time, the former Packer, Matt Hasselbeck. Well, roll the tape.
Seattle has won the toss. We won the ball, and we're going to score.
The pass is picked up. Intercepted. Back the other way. The Green Bay pass. will talk about what he said at the coin flip.
We want the ball. We're going to score.
How old were you for that game?
I was January of 2004, so I would have been 5.
That game, I don't know if you remember it as a 5-year-old. Game is one of my like foundational Packers fans memories. I was born long enough before that to know and be aware as it happening. That moment felt like a harbinger of bad news when he said we want the ball and we're going to score. I was a little bit scared, and then it switched so quickly. And to think of what ended up happening in the ensuing years feels like it's been all downhill since that moment.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. And typically against the Seahawks, it feels like it has been. Let's fast forward to the replacement ref era. This was September of 2012 out at in Seattle. The Packers were 3-point favorites. Packers were a good team that year, all right? That's the year after they went 15-1, had the disappointing exit. And obviously there was a standoff between the NFL and their normal referees, the Referee Association. So they had all the replacement refs in, and it was a disaster. End of the game. Russell Wilson to Golden Tate / Packers MD Jennings. Will, go ahead.
It's a Wilson loft to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? One guy goes up, touchdown. The other said no time.
How does MD Jennings not get credit for the interception? I have no idea.
Call on the field stands. Touchdown.
Seahawks win in the most bizarre finish you'll ever see.
And that is accurate from Mike Tirico on the call on ESPN. Back in 2012, it was the most bizarre finish you will ever see. I think everybody and their mother sitting on the couch goes, MD Jennings has an interception, the game's over.
Yes.
The referees, you'll remember, right, when it happened, opposites. One referee ran in, said it's an interception. The other referee ran in and called a touchdown. We went to review. Everybody's going bananas in Seattle. And, that's not a fun one.
Famously, the replacement refs era, which I believe were then switched out directly after this game happened.
Yes, so this was a Monday Night Football game.
Yep.
And that was the final game the replacement refs were used in.
That game, and I believe that official has like gone on to like write a book and make this all about himself. I don't.
Well, hold on. I respect that, to be honest with you.
I mean, he was a replacement ref, so that was his moment in the sun.
Yes.
But he never really showed any contrition for getting it wrong, despite everyone sort of knowing that it was the wrong
call. Because history says it was right.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
The other aspect to that is just like the fallout and how rules have been interpreted since then. And then also, like, do you remember a game that has been more controversial of an ending since that era? Now, obviously, we're Packers-centric here, and everyone's going to file through Packers events. But in terms of plays that determined the actual endings of games, it's hard to think of. You can think of, in the playoffs, the Rams-Saints. The lack of the pass interference call.
I think of that wasn't a playoff game though. Last season it was the Kadarius Toney lining up offsides for the Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes tried to say, "Why are you calling that?" Even though it's like a procedural thing.
Correct. It was the correct call, but it was. Yes. I just remember there was a lot of controversy around it.
And then there was it the offsides call by Dee Ford in the playoffs?
Yes.
That one also was like a big one. That is like a Mount Rushmore controversial ending in like NFL history.
Yeah, so similar to the referee, Wayne Elliott is his name.
Yes.
I'm going to make this one about me for a moment.
Okay.
This is my claim to fame, Joshy. If you go on the Fail Mary Wikipedia page, and you scroll down the page a little bit, you look to some of the other terms that game has been called. So it's been called the Fail Mary. It's been called a couple other things. The inaccurate reception. And also the inter-touchdownception. If you're on the Wikipedia page for the Fail Mary and you click citation 30, are you on the page?
I am.
Okay, can you go ahead and click citation 30 for me and read it out loud?
Hold on here. I've lost my spot. Okay. The citation is to one Alex Stroff.
Written on SBNation.com, August 6, 2013. I used the words inner touchdownception in a fantasy football article.
The following offseason?
Correct. Yeah. I was the lead fantasy football writer at the time for SBNation.com, and I always referred to it as the inner touchdownception. To be honest with you, I didn't realize Fail Mary until later was the actual formal title for this game. So there you go.
That's That's interesting because it feels like I saw that word quite a bit.
I didn't come up with it.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but maybe
I'm
just
credited with it.
The only article that probably actually featured it, and hey, I'd take that.
Text line says, this is the lamest brag in history. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
but something about me, I love Wikipedia. All right, last one before we get to a break. Of course, the 2014 NFC Championship game. I don't want to say anything else.
Good kick up into the air. It's loose and covered by Seattle. Chris Matthews.
That one still hurts.
That one hurts a lot.
And that should have been a Super Bowl year.
I was talking to young Will over there about this game. I watched this game merely a few blocks from here. It was upstairs at a bar I believe is now defunct. It was right on 3rd Street. And it was the second level, and I was there with probably like 20-plus friends, which it's pretty rare for me now to go out for games. So this was
listen to that brag. 20-plus. Who has 20 friends?
Well, you know, you invite people, say, hey, we're going here, and then people all call me. It was a big game.
Cool.
When that onside kick happened, I didn't even wait to see the end. I left the bar, got in my car, and went home because the ending from that point felt so inevitable. So many things had gone wrong. The Julius Peppers telling, what was the safety? Remind me of his name.
Will was in my ear, so I didn't even know what you said.
Who was the safety that went down, slid? I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. Oh, it wasn't Ha Ha, was it?
No.
But all those things culminated to that point, and Brandon Bosick obviously was the one that was the pariah for that one, who actually has had a resurgence and has turned to be a quite likable figure and comes back to the Packers, and I'm glad he's kind of been able to get over that moment. But yeah, that one, that is up there all time in haunting losses, and it's crazy that there are more than one of them against a team the Packers don't really see that often.
Yeah, well, hopefully there's not more to come on Sunday Night Football. It's Packers Seahawks. We'll give our final thoughts on that and our final thoughts for the week. That is coming up next right here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought Salvation every time Army. That they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Here we go. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Friday. We literally have 10 seconds left. Alex Stroff, Josh DiMaggio, producer Will Summers with you for just a few more moments. Joshy, Packers, Seahawks, Sunday Night Football. Do the Packers get it done?
Packers win. More contested than we wanted to be, but they end up with a W.
I am going the other way. I'm going to take the Seahawks, and I think we're going to have a lot to discuss coming up on Monday. Wildy and Tausch get you set for Packers, Seahawks, Sunday Night Football. Coming up next, have a great weekend. Stan, Gabe, and Chewy.